Shalom, nasei ha'shiur shelanu.
Hello. Today we're going to study how to correctly study the wisdom of Kabbalah. You can ask questions through Cup TV, and selected questions will be asked during the lesson. Excerpt number 25. Five, Bala Sulam, Introduction to the Study of the Ten Sefirot. Most of the authors of Kabbalah books did not direct their books, but only to such readers that have already attained a disclosure of the faith and all the sublime attainments. Therefore, we must ask, why then did the Kabbalists obligate each person to study the wisdom of Kabbalah? Indeed, there is a great thing in it, worthy of being publicized. There is a wonderful, invaluable remedy to those who engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah, although they do not understand what they are learning. Through the yearning and the great desire to understand what they are learning, they awaken upon themselves the lights that surround their souls.
This means that there is a remedy, a virtue in the study, that if we study correctly, with the right books, with the right conditions, then we can be rewarded with the reforming light, and it will pull us to the good, meaning to the good who does good, the Creator, so that we will change our nature from being the opposite of the Creator. As it says, I've created the evil inclination, then I created the spice of Torah, that through the reforming light in the Torah, we come to identification, up to adhesion with the Creator. But this is on the condition that we study correctly. And here the sages of Kabbalah have tried already to convey to us all of the conditions that we have to keep in order to awaken the light. So it will be strong enough to change us, correct us. Therefore, what does it say here? That even though they study, but they don't know what they're studying, they don't understand what they're studying, and they have no relevance to it, as if. However, there is some drive, there is some attraction, there is what we call the point in the heart that pulls them to discover the Creator. And then they study. They can't let go. This is what they're missing in life. And the sages of Kabbalah are already concerned about writing their books in such a way that those who already have spiritual attainment and those who don't have it but they yearn for it, spiritual attainment meaning to attain states that are similar to the Creator, so for all of them the study will help, will assist. Therefore, it is called the wisdom of the Torah. It's not just a wisdom that we study when we study what's written. Rather, when we study in order to attain, and from the attainment to know what is written. This is the difference. So, let us talk about that. What is the difference between studying a wisdom, as it says, a wisdom in the Goyim, in the nations, believe it, and to study the Torah? The Torah in the nations do not believe it. And Torah means the reforming light. As it says, I created evil inclination, I created for it the spice of Torah, because the light within it reforms. So, we see that people, even when they come to study the wisdom of Kabbalah, there are those who, after they hear what needs to be done, that we have to change, to correct ourselves through the study, through the light, that we have to perform all kinds of actions of connection, of effort. The person then weighs, each and every one weighs. Is it worthwhile for me or not worthwhile for me? Is the goal so precious that I should invest so much in it or not? And it all depends on that spark that exists against the evil inclination. And then the person weighs, yes or not? Each and every one, even those who later became great Kabbalists, the servants of the Creator, they were also in the same calculations, doubts. Is it worthwhile or not? Because specifically out of those scrutinies, the person who overcomes advances. And therefore, all of our work in the wisdom of Kabbalah is about how do we awaken the yearning and the desire so that they will be so great that we will be able to invest ourselves in it truly all day and all night. This is what we have to be concerned about. And here it's mostly the work of the group, that by a person being in the right, good environment that awakens him, even though he feels the burdening of the heart and always doubts and laziness and all kinds of calculations in all kinds of directions, such and such, and is not certain if he's on the right path, through the society, through the books, he is always trying, making an effort to stabilize himself towards the goal through the method that he gets from the books, and this is how he advances and advances. Let's continue.
Excerpt number 26, Introduction to Tests, item 155. While one has not attained perfection, the lights that are destined to reach him are considered surrounding lights. That means that they stand ready for him, but are waiting for him to purify his vessels of reception, at which time these lights will clothe the able vessels. Hence, even when he does not have the vessels, when he engages in this wisdom, mentioning the names of the lights and the vessels related to his soul, they immediately shine upon him to a certain extent. However, they shine for him without clothing the interior of his soul, for lack of able vessels to receive them. Yet, the illumination one receives time after time during the engagement draws upon him grace from above, imparting him with abundance of sanctity and purity, which bring him much closer to achieving perfection.
If so, we only have to care how to awaken these surrounding lights. And about the surrounding lights, we learn that they do not belong to the masach, the obiut, coarseness. So how can we awaken the surrounding lights? It's a question. How can we awaken the surrounding lights? What means do we have for that? Go ahead.
In order to awaken the surrounding lights, we have to see the praise and the greatness of society on the one hand, and on the other hand, to constantly work on seeing the Creator between the friends and the quality of bestowal.
Yes, the light has the quality of the Creator, and the quality of the Creator is bestowal. So if we try to perform acts of bestowal towards one another, by that we will awaken the light.
Yeah, and even if we don't feel the connection, the fact that we yearn in the ten to reach this state, and we depict this state, we imagine it. By that, first and foremost, we increase the desire for the scrutinizing it, and this is what draws to reformulate.
We come with an intention to connect between us. We want to be together, we want to be one, we want to be like the giver. That's it. We sit together with a text of Kabbalists and we wish to be attached to them.
And also, when we don't wanna, to try and aim as much as we can our hearts doing different, trying everything that we can, making different efforts for the heart to take on a different direction.
And they recommend to us to set up times for the Torah. As soon as I come to work, I open up this link on the computer and I put a beep every hour, so I have to come in, read some excerpts, and think about the friends as I'm doing it.
If we try and annul, if we try to annul, this is the key to spirituality is annulment. And then when I think about the friends instead of myself, this is the breakthrough actually. This, the light it appears once you think about the friends.
Yes, we awaken it through equivalence of form. The closer we will be to the light, this is called that we awaken it.
And even if we don't exactly know what equivalence of form is, but by trying every time anew, out of our efforts, exertion,
yeah, efforts, what are we doing, what we're doing for? So that our mind will not be diverted during the study. The work has to constantly be renewed about the cause, to reawaken the cause, the reason.
Yesterday, Rav talked about it, that whatever the heart's aimed at, that's the most important thing. More important than the actions, more important than everything. But you have to do whatever you can so that the heart will really get the correct direction.
And even to say it in words.
And to even say it in words, even if we don't feel it. When we say it, but the actions, the feeling will follow the different actions and words.
Drawing the light is an ability that we get from the group, this mind, these discernments, everything that comes from the society means that we are drawing the light, really.
Only in our connection can the light be revealed.
It's important to mention that earlier, when we talked about the excitement, the yearning, it comes actually through integration with the friends. I know that this really influences me when I see that the friends are active, doing things. It really pushes me forward. It pushes me to do like them, to show that I'm doing, to participate, even if it's the opposite of my individual state. Truly so. So the ability to perform this calculation in relation to my personal state or for the benefit of the group, specifically from this atmosphere that is created among the friends, it's easier to make the right calculation, which is not necessarily for your own benefit, but at least to try to do it towards the goal of creation, giving contentment, or something even amorphic like that.
Lately I heard that the group is the Shechina. Lately. Continuing to excerpt number 23, Rabash, three lines. But before one is rewarded with emerging from self-love and doing everything in order to bestow called Lishma, although he learns all these matters as they are, they're only names without any clarification. Meaning that he has no attainment in those things that he's learning, since he has no knowledge about the material of the upper roots, called the holy names, or Sfirot and Pertsufim. We can learn the upper matters, called the wisdom of Kabbalah, only by way of Zgula, remedy, since they can bring a person desire and yearning to adhere to the Creator because of the Kedusha of the matters that speak of the holy names. Conversely, in the revealed Torah, he must believe that the whole Torah is the names of the Creator. It follows that these matters are more capable. When a person learns the upper matters in order for it to bring him closer to Kedusha, it causes a nearing of the lights. This means that this learning will cause him to thereby be rewarded with aiming all his actions in order to bestow. This is called work in the manner of preparation, where he prepares himself to be worthy of entering the king's palace and to adhere to him. Again, but before one is rewarded with emerging from self-love and doing everything in order to bestow called Lishma, although he learns all these matters as they are, they are only names without any clarification, meaning that he has no attainment in those things that he is learning, since he has no knowledge about the material of the upper roots, called the holy names, or Sfirot and Pertsufim. We can learn the upper matters called the wisdom of Kabbalah only by way of Zgula, which is a remedy, since they can bring a person desire and yearning to adhere to the Creator because of the Kedusha of the matters that speak of the holy names. Conversely, in the revealed Torah, he must believe that the whole Torah is the names of the Creator. It follows that these matters are more capable. When a person learns the upper matters in order for it to bring him closer to Kedusha, it causes a nearing of the lights. This means that this learning will cause him to thereby be rewarded with aiming all his actions in order to bestow. This is called work in the manner of preparation, where he prepares himself to be worthy of entering the king's palace and to adhere to him.
Shailot. Any questions? So far, everything we talked about in general. None? Yes, Niv.
It's hard to differentiate between studying Torah and studying wisdom. What's the difference, actually, between studying wisdom and studying Torah?
Studying wisdom is when we study just like any other wisdom, whatever it says in the book. It's simple. The book says something and you study it. You tie the things better, that this is what the book is talking about, from the first page to the last page, and in return, in a certain depth, using the wisdom, the person who is wiser can grasp more, can understand better. One who is less wise can grasp less, understands less, just like all other wisdoms. As we study really books in physics, chemistry, all the sciences. This is how you study things that the Torah is talking about. So the whole thing is about the approach. If the approach is to know what it says in the book, in each and every page, this is called that a person is studying wisdom. Then it says wisdom in the Goyim, in the nations, believe it. That anyone can study and know these things. I heard that in Korea, I think, they are studying Gemara, Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud. And they think that by that they can be wiser like the Jews. It's well known that the Jews have all kinds of inventions and all kinds of things. And they're in the world, in music, technology, etc. And they also want to be like that. Why? What's the difference? The difference is that the Jews have been studying throughout thousands of years the Talmud. So we will also study the Talmud and we will be like that, like them. And they started studying it. Do you think that if they will study it, they will know less? They will know no less. You can later have a test for them and you will see that wisdom in the Goyim, believe it, they will know what it says in all of these books, by rote, by heart, whatever you want it. They will know it, because for that, all that's required is wisdom. However, there is the remedy, the virtue of the Torah. There is a special force hidden in the Torah, and this force gives a person a new quality so that he can see through what he's studying the upper system that is tying him with the Creator, how the Creator through this system is influencing him, and he through this system is influencing or bestowing to the Creator. This system is called Neshama, soul. And a person who studies in this manner, in order to attain the Creator, in order to give him contentment, and he wants to feel how the Creator is doing it to him, it is considered that he's studying Torah. And then it is a great difference, because by that he changes, he acquires new kelim, a new quality. The quality of bestowal instead of the quality of reception. And then it is considered that he is studying Torah, not wisdom. Because Torah is the names of the Creator, meaning these are the actions of the Creator on people, in order to correct them. This is actually this is what we study. So the difference is a big one. And therefore, we need a special force that will change us according to the upper system, so that through it we will know what it is that the Creator is doing to us. So we have to correct ourselves, raise our sensitivity to that upper system, which is entirely bestowal and love, and we don't have that. So here we have to change. We have to cross the barrier, as we call it, the machsom. It's a kind of a switch where we shift from wanting to receive to wanting to bestow. This is called crossing the barrier. And after that, to gradually acquire the force of bestowal, and later on even the force of love. And by that we reach equivalence with the Creator. This is the work of Israel, Yasharkel, those who are aimed, those who have that feeling.
Mulan?
Is that clear?
Yeah. But in order to study Torah, is it possible to study Torah without understanding at all? Nothing? A person that studies Torah
he doesn't yearn to understand, so much so that we read about the great Kabbalists that they would even pray to forget what they were studying. However, to understand what we're studying means to reach the level of understanding of Binah, to understand from the force of bestowal, from identification. Let's say, I see that you performed some action for someone, so I don't want to know about this action. I study it in order to understand what you intend for, what it is that you want, what motivates you. And this action, I don't need it later on. I need it only in order to study, to learn from you how you are, what state you're in, and how did you intend, and how did you do it. That is, the Torah brings us not the actions themselves, rather to know who is the giver of the Torah.
Even in the famous item 155, he says that from the strong yearning and desire to understand what they're studying, they draw the reforming light, the surrounding light. So what's he says here to understand.
So, if so, we need to understand what it means to understand. This is actually why we come to this compilation of excerpts, in order for it to be clear to us what does it mean, the study of the Torah. Find precisely something about that.
So what does it mean to understand where he says what he says in 155?
To understand means to reach the degree of Binah, that only in the quality of bestowal I understand the actions of the Creator. Otherwise, I cannot understand them. Yeah.
Now, what's the essential matter in regarding the language of Kabbalah, the language of Torah? Why is it so important to study wisdom or to study Torah?
First of all, in order to study Torah, you actually, to begin with, you don't even need to know the language. It's just your yearning is sufficient in order to come closer to that. And afterwards, you learn it as the language of the branches. The language is the language of the branches, where against each and everything that you hear, you would like to discover the root by studying the branch. So if you intend from the branch to the root, then bit by bit you want to discover the essence of the action. And the essence of the action is the Creator's wish to bestow to the created beings, to do good to His created beings. And this is what you study. And how can you study that? By continuing, extending the to do good to His created creations of the Creator to the created beings. And out of that you start understanding, attaining the Creator.
So why is the language here, the language of the Torah, the language of the Kabbalah, why is it so significant here? I can study in order to connect with the root in both languages.
What's a language for you?
Both in the language of the Torah and also in the language of Kabbalah. Or I don't understand. What's the principal matter here where he constantly mentions that the language of Kabbalah is more suited?
Because it aims you to the root. It talks about the branches. And Baal HaSulam immediately explains this to us in the Histaklut Primit, in the first part of Tess.
I can study the language of the branches in order to understand. Achanpin, Zahanpin, up, down.
No, that's not the language of the branches. You're just saying words. You can call upon a person in the street and he will read those same words for you. So what? Is he already studying Torah? Is he already studying the wisdom of Kabbalah? Is he using that language? Language means the code that brings me to a connection with the Creator. And you're just saying, Atik, Arichanpin, what does that give me?
So one way or another, I have no access to the inner concept of both languages.
It depends what you're yearning for. Baal HaSulam wrote about Jerusalem Kabbalists for a reason.
This I understand, the principal matter regarding yearning for understanding or attainment to change myself, but the language, what does he want to say?
That point is a simple one. You have to change. Do you have to change in order to attain what the wisdom of Kabbalah is talking about or not? The Torah was given for you in order to change and truly attain the Torah, not what it says in the books. What it says in the books is not important for us at all. It can be only as the first means, and all the rest is already beyond the words, beyond these sentences, beyond the book. It is what we have to attain in our root according to our equivalence with it.
And this is something that you can't do in the language of the Torah?
I don't know what you mean by language of Torah.
What does he mean? Doesn't matter what I mean. What does he mean when he says that the language of Kabbalah is more qualified for attainment as opposed to the language of the Torah?
Because it speaks about the roots. It tells you that you have to perform Tzimtzum, Masach, or Chozer, all kinds of actions of bestowal. You have to be in the group and organize a minyan, a quorum, a ten, as we call it. We don't want to call it minyan because it has connotations that are different. Rather, a ten. And in that ten, we have to organize the right environment by which we can study correctly in order to find the root in the center of the ten, etc., etc. All of this is called the study of the Torah. And Torah means that in the end, if I study correctly, I change. That is the outcome of the study. Not that I will fill up the cells in my brain, the cells of my memory, and I will know precisely what the book says. I check my study according to the essential changes that occur in me. How much I'm becoming closer to the Creator, and how do I check that also in the society, that you should not study by yourself. Why is it so crucial? We're not students. We need to study together. How come? Because by that we also learn how we can bestow to each other, how we can implement in the group what we study. And without the realization, our study would also be just as a wisdom, not the Torah. Anyone else? How do the surrounding lights influence work if there are no kelim for it? How do they still influence you?
The makif doesn't need kelim. A kli is called masach and or chozel, and this is already after a person reaches scrutiny and corrections. Then he has kelim, and the or makif, it shines even prior to Tzimtzum Aleph. And therefore, it also shines to those kelim that can't keep the Tzimtzum yet. They have no Masach. It's just a desire. But I have to awaken that Ol Makif upon myself. How? By yearning for it. To the extent to which I yearn for it. Suppose I cry, I want spirituality, the Creator, to know, to understand. Doesn't matter what I cry, but I truly yearn. So, by society, I yearn even more. And by that, I awaken the surrounding lights, not by the desire which I have received from above, but by what I awaken in myself by the friends. So the entire addition of desire and yearning which I awaken,
they awaken, O Makif, and it shines upon me. And then I feel, I want, I'm yearning, I'm really willing to do something.
This means that the light nevertheless leaves some impression. You're saying it's not a kli yet, nevertheless it leaves some impression, or...
Yes, it influences me, so-called, from afar, from the outside.
On the kli?
The will to receive, without a masach, without the tzimtzum, without nothing. The light works on the will to receive, and this is how it brings it closer. Where does it say about the Or Makif? Kuf Nun Hei, 155. We just read it. Excerpt 26. Read it.
While one has not attained perfection, the lights that are destined to reach him are considered Orot Makifim, surrounding lights. That means that they stand ready for him, but are waiting for him to purify his vessels of reception, at which time these lights will clove in the ready kelim. Hence, even when he does not have the kelim, when he engages in this wisdom, mentioning the names of the lights and the vessels related to his soul, they immediately shine upon him to a certain extent. However, they shine for him without clothing the interior of his soul for lack of vessels qualified to receive them. However, the illumination one receives time and again during the engagement draws upon him grace from above, imparting him with abundance of sanctity and purity, which bring him much closer to achieving perfection.
This is the influence of the Or Makif. And accordingly, we have to do everything that awakens the surrounding lights. Yeah?
Good morning. Earlier, you told us about Kabbalists who ask to forget.
Yeah, so so.
If so, what's the difference in the influence of the surrounding lights between a person who yearns to understand and a person who has attainment?
A person who yearns to understand doesn't draw the reforming the surrounding lights. He yearns to understand, so he activates the kelim that he has in order to understand like any other student.
And by that, is he influenced by the surrounding lights by that?
He has no contact with surrounding lights. The surrounding lights are the lights that have to enter his soul, and he's not in the area.
So what does his yearning bring him, really? What does his yearning bring him? If I yearn for something, what does that activate on me?
Any person in the world yearns for something. He yearns to know. So he comes to the wisdom of Kabbalah and he thinks that here you learn how to understand, know things. And then he studies. There are many such circles. You know how many there are? Different circles in which people study the wisdom of Kabbalah. On a daily basis, new people write to me. Different classes, they have internet sites, they have classes, nice things. And also it doesn't matter what they write. I'm happy that this is how it's developing and it's going in all directions. And the scrutiny comes as a result of all of these many options.
So why does it say that I need to yearn, to want it very much? What's the point here exactly?
But a person that yearns, he doesn't exactly know what is he yearning for. Later, he comes and he yearns to know. According to his character, he is yearning for knowledge. And there's an entire spectrum of desires in this respect, starting with the simple desire to know
or only to attain, and even between there are many different kinds of these and those kinds of desires and intentions, and he himself doesn't know. Look how many people come. Look how many people go to school, but afterwards everyone goes their own way. Someone wants to be a scientist and a professor, and someone else, he only wants to, you know, make a living, and he doesn't care about the rest. The same in the wisdom of Kabbalah. When a person comes in, oh, the wisdom of Kabbalah, and afterwards, you know, 99% leave and don't need it. And from those that remain, there are further scrutinies and so on. Not everyone has to be that way, that they're going to the very end.
The level of my yearning, is that my intention? The more I yearn, my intention is better?
That you're yearning, it doesn't mean that your intention is already higher. You have to work on the intention. You have to work on the intention. You have to draw the reforming light for it to every time give me a more precise intention, more powerful one.
Good. No?
How do the surrounding lights work in the roots and in the branches?
First of all, the surrounding lights themselves come from the roots. This is where the Or Makif comes from. From the highest root comes the Or Makif. The branch from the root is called he who yearns for the root. If he doesn't yearn for the root, it's not called a branch. So to the extent to which a person yearns to achieve in order to bestow the attribute of the shorish, then the shorish, the root, works upon him as the surrounding light and advances a person toward it. Haifa.
Rav, I want in the simplest manner to ask, you know, I sit in the tent, you ask a workshop question. I have two ways to answer. One way is to answer in a high language, roots, branches, Anpin, Bina, and I have the possibility to answer from the friend's heart, to talk to him about connection, about desire, intention. What has a better influence, a better effect?
What better influence is the Or Makif? The more you speak to the friend's heart, because the Or Makif comes only in order to connect the hearts. This is our correction. And Atika Rechanpin, if you talk about it, it's disconnected, detached from you. You don't know what that is, and eventually it won't be beneficial. It's also possible during the lesson, but if you're asking whether it's beneficial, no, it's not. Because it's unrelated to you. If you're talking about the surrounding lights, about yearning for the root, that's something else. But if you're talking about Arichanpin, you're not connected with it whatsoever. These are already special kalim with masachim, screens that are dominated by complete and absolute laws that you're completely unrelated to. So you're saying empty words.
Let's say, even if I do it with the intention and using the right language.
What intention are you doing it with? You're saying words that, sorry for saying so, don't exist in you. But I talked with intention, understanding. It's just words.
Let me just finish the question. I just want to understand. If there's somebody in the workshop and I want to accept him that he's saying it in a way that, let's say, he understands. I want to assume that he understands. I don't want to judge him above reason.
Also, above reason, you're saying such words that we're not in attainment of. Just listen to what you're saying. You can only speak to the friend's heart in the simplest manner for it to connect you, and then you awaken the Orot HaMakifim, the surrounding lights. And if you're studying, then you have no idea what you're studying. Like you say, you don't know what that is, but your intention is that by talking, by saying, Arich Anpin ascends to Atik, Atik bestows lights onto Abba and Ima, and until it reaches us, and so on and so forth, by that we receive the force of correction. Fine, you said it. You really want to adhere to that. It's your desire that determines. It's not what you say verbally. And your desire that you want to belong to that chain that influences you, this is what works. Yeah.
To the heart, for me to speak to him in understanding at the height of his desire. He doesn't understand my desire, so like you said, I think to speak to the heart, not using high words. Thank you, Rav. Two quotes. These are number 14 and 15. You can see them on the screen. Those people who engage in the Torah, not in order to know the rules and customs so that they will know how to observe the mitzvot, but they have another exalted role, that they are learning Torah in order to correct the heart. They are called wise at heart. Wise-hearted, since everything is named after its action. For this reason, the Torah they learn with this intention is called wise-hearted and not wise-minded, since they need the Torah in order to correct the heart. And number 15, the person cannot do anything for the sake of the Creator. Only the light of Torah will correct the heart. For the heart is called desire. And by nature, it is only a desire to receive. But how can a person go against nature? This is why the Creator said, I have created the evil inclination, I have created the Torah as a spice. It follows that he is not learning Torah for the intellect, to understand. But he is learning in order to understand so as to achieve dvekut, adhesion with the Creator who is clothed in the Torah. And this pertains to the heart. Through the light that he will receive, it reforms him, meaning that the will to receive for his own sake can receive strength from above that enables it to work for the sake of the Creator.
Okay. Next.
The next excerpt is number 28 from the words of Rav Kook in the Lights of the Torah. One of the wonders of studying these secrets of the Torah is that while a person studies these sublime matters out of love and an inner emotion, even though he cannot grasp these matters with a clear intellectual understanding, nevertheless, they raise his entire essence.
Meaning it doesn't matter how much do we understand, how much do we know, but how much do we yearn to change by studying. This is the matter. This is the point. How much I want to change. Not that I fill myself with it, but that I change, that I become someone else, that I come out of the lesson, it won't be the same person who came into the lesson. This is the result from studying Torah. And then, in that change that occurs, that I go through, will I be able to feel a more spiritual world? The actions of the Creator.
how he influenced me, and how can I now see these actions in my world? Next.
Exit number 29, from the words of Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Safarin from Kubana, the path of unification. And while you aim with segregation and fear to awaken up above the surrounding lights and the mochin, even though you don't know any essence, not the makifin, the surrounding, not the mochin, nor anything, in spite of that, by your knowing, you awaken their existence. And even though you don't know their essence, a great light is drawn to you.
Meaning not to be the spirit of not understanding, and how can we understand, but to understand, la'vin, the word itself, la'vin, it's the degree of bina, havana, understanding. It's only to the extent to which we acquire bestowal, then the light enters us to the extent of our equivalence of form with it, and then that light builds in us a new state. And that new state that I exist in, I understand it, but that's after the light enters and changes these things in me. And then I feel these changes. And then from those changes, I understand, I feel. This is called studying. So we study in order to draw the light, for it to change us. And not in order for it to fill our brain cells. Questions? Good? Moshe.
I also want to be precise about this distinction between the studying of the Torah and the actions. What is the study of the Torah really? Is it textual, all kinds of forms that are about studying, or is it about actions, like workshops and things like that?
These are all means by which we awaken the lights. Let's put things in place. The main thing for us is to awaken the Orot HaMekifim, surrounding lights. That's it. Now, what actions are intended for it and what aren't? By what actions do I awaken the Orot HaMekif more or less? Accordingly, I examine the different means. So we're told we can awaken the surrounding lights in the best possible way when there are 10. That's it. And connect among them. And sitting meaning not to sit physically with your butt on the seat. But to sit, it means that they decrease their degree. They want to be in a state where they want to subordinate to each other and also between them toward one another. And they also connect in subordination to whatever they want to attain. They want to attain the actions of the Creator inside them. The actions of the Creator are bestowal and love. So accordingly, they have to yearn for bestowal and love. How can they do that? Precisely when they annul themselves or subordinate themselves toward one another, when they sit together, so to speak, then to the extent of the efforts that they make and the different obstacles and disturbances that they have, specifically that come against that, and if they're great, they have big disturbances. So they try to connect, and again, only in order to draw the reforming light, that will change them, and they will be able to yearn to bestow contentment to the Creator, like He has intended in order to bestow upon them, in order to draw them to His degree. Because that is the best possible, most whole and perfect degree. This is our work. Now, anything that's more beneficial to that is more important. Less beneficial, less important.
But again, what is the study of the Torah? The study of the Torah. This word is confusing to me.
Studying Torah, it means studying the actions of the Creator. The Creator and the Torah, it's one and the same. It's studying the actions of the Creator on the creature himself. How can I study them otherwise? So, I have to cause the different lights, forces, for them to change me from place to place, meaning from within, to change me from within, from state to state, so that from them I'll get to know the actions of the Creator and will discover them correctly, which is the good that does good that's revealed in me this way. Studying Torah, it's on the flesh, on our own desire, that this is how we study it. Right? I want to hear the guests. You can calm down. Baltia.
Good morning, Rav. You said that to reach bestow, later on to reach love. What is the difference?
Bestow and love are two different degrees. If we're working to correct the Galgalta and the Naim, and we acquire the light of Chassadim, the force of bestow, that's called the force of bestow. That in the meantime, we're doing the Tzimtzum, Masach, Ol Chozer, but all of it in order to reach the degree of Bina, from Malchut to Bina. That means that we are engaged in the correction of the Kelim of bestow, and in each and every Kli, in each and every desire, you have Galgalta, Anayim, and Achab. When we correct the desires on the Ovyut of Shorosh Aleph and Bet, well, Shorosh and Aleph, let's say, then we correct the Galgalta and the Naim of the Kelim. And we can only bestow. What does it mean to bestow? Not to do anything, to only be neutral. Like that chassid in the forest who has no shirt and he doesn't need anything. He feels good. Whereas when we're talking about, when we study about the kelim of the Ovyut of Bet Gimel and Dalet, which is called Ozan Chotem Peh, Achap, then we correct them and we can start working in them and receiving in order to bestow. And then we awaken the light of Chokhmah in order to bestow, to receive in order to bestow. That's called the kelim of Ashpa, of bestow, and the kelim of reception. This is how we work with the kelim. That's it. Moscow.
Вот, исходя из того, что мы не знаем и не можем судить о намерениях товарища.
Our inability to know and even judge the friend's intentions, there is, as a principle, two approaches in the workshop, very clear ones that I can identify. The first approach is that when the friends speak about the greatness of the Creator, about the importance of the prayer, they invest all of our hearts in that. The other approach is when the friends don't use these words, they just speak in a word that's kind of softer from the heart, and I don't manage to judge the friend's intentions, not in the first approach, not in the second approach. So, nevertheless, what should I be inclined to? To speak in a clear manner about this prayer, say these words, or open the heart? Put my soul into it. And how should I relate to the friends who speak this way or that way? I won't relate to your question because there are thousands of other questions like that. It's all confused and it changes from 1 minute to this, the other. So we have to do what it says in the books, not what you are now bringing me, all kinds of discernments. It says exactly what I need to do with the friends. So I'm not looking at them, and I don't pass any judgment over them, any criticism about them thinking this way or that way, because it changes from 1 minute to the next. I look at myself. How should I be according to what it says? What I see that it says. Maybe I don't see it correctly, but that is the only thing with which I check myself, and accordingly I relate to others, not according to what they say. Because in them it changes from one moment to the next, and why should I even relate to that? Why should I understand them? That's incorrect. We have to understand what it says and act exactly that way. Then we will see that what I was thinking before and what I heard and what I saw, it was all incorrect, because I was seeing out of myself. Anyone who disqualifies is disqualifying through his own flaws. That's not how you relate to the friends. I, a priori, even if I hear and see that the friend is this way and that way, behaving in such a way, I have to justify him in advance and to try to relate to him as to the greatest of the generation. Then I will see. This is correct or incorrect, but it comes out of me. That's how I will see it. But at least in this way, I will advance. I don't want to do any criticism about what they're saying. If it's not related to what we're going to have today at lunch, let's say, then it's not important what they're saying. I relate to them according to what it says in the books that I should relate to them. That's it. I'm talking about the connection of the friends. There are other connections in the group, all kinds of administrative things, and that's something else. Okay. You're a local guy. Sit quietly. Yes, please. What does that mean to speak from the heart? How can I listen? You know, where do I find that? What does it mean to speak from the heart? Do you have something that changes inside? Not this pump, 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 this pump. Rather, we're talking about a sensation. A sensation means one's heart. And it is the most important. That is his center. We are sentient beings. We feel. The Creator says, I created the evil inclination. So we have a desire. The inclination is a desire. And the desire is evil. Bad for others, good for myself. That's how I think. And then out of that, I work whether I want to or not. This is my nature. So, accordingly, I work. The wisdom of Kabbalah says, you want to feel the Creator, discover the Creator, understand what is going on, so you should know. You should know that in order to understand Him, you have to invert yourself. Your heart, that is now seemingly good for you and bad for others, you have to invert it. First of all, realize that this is how it is. You need to discover that this is how it is, that you are bad for everyone else and good for yourself. And don't be proud in about that, like the whole world is taking pride about how each one feels himself like a macho and powerful and all of that. Rather, you need to do the opposite. Maybe you'll do it in such a way that you will start being bad for yourself, for your nature, I mean, and good for others. If you invert it, you will start to feel in these changes the Creator. You'll start feeling what is the opposite of you. And you will also start feeling others, because they are exactly opposite you. How to do it? Through the reforming light. Do you want that? That is a question. Should I invert my nature transform it to the opposite. The means is there, it's the reforming light. But do I want that? Nobody wants it. No one. Because our nature is entirely to do good for myself at the expense of others. That's it. So what are we going to do? So we're told that if you enter an environment which is talking only about bestowal, about love, about connection, about the fact that it's worthwhile to do that, by that you will discover something beautiful, eternal, whole. It's a fortune, truly a fortune. Then you say, well, it's worthwhile for me. And this is called that still you're in your ego, but your ego is already changing. You are going to acquire something that is worthwhile. Eternity, wholeness, great pleasures, about being above everyone, egoistically. But your ego is now pulling you, nevertheless, to undergo changes. This is called that you're still in Lolishma, of course, not for her sake, meaning in order to receive. I want to be a great Kabbalist, greater than everyone, understand everything, feel everything, give a hoot about everyone. Okay, but you advance. Even in that, you're still advancing until you more and more and more enter the study, you enter the group, and this is considered that earlier it was done by coercion and later by desire. You suddenly start feeling that something changes. Suddenly I begin to feel that bestowal is something good on its own. This is kind of strange, but this is how it is really. How did I change? I don't know. But suddenly I think that I am becoming an idealist. I have some ideal. Now, how do you say ideal in Hebrew? Some high value. That's right. That my high value now is bestowal. I respect it. That's it. It's the quality of the Creator. Well, the Creator is giving to me, that's okay. He is above my will to receive. But for me, even from within my will to receive, I start respecting the will to bestow, that it is above the will to receive. And then I begin to somehow develop it more, so a bit more of the group, make it tighter, study in a way that is more aimed at that, and that way more and more until I see that it's actually working. It advances me into the form of bestowal until I say, I want it. That's it. And a change occurs in me. It's not simple, and it's after many years, a change occurs where I reach the form of bestowal, the quality of bestowal, where I transcend my ego and I can see everything and live in bestowal, in order to bestow, in thinking good about others. This transition is not simple. It's called crossing the barrier. The person enters the quality of bestowal, the white light. And this is done by gradually acquiring these qualities, these means, using what he has at his disposal. This is how it works.
Meaning, I don't know how to speak from my heart, let's say to the friends. Rather, I have to raise a prayer and do it through the Creator. Then I will know how to speak from my heart, something like that?
Yes. You said it beautifully. Okay. I'm looking for guests today. They don't want to ask, so we're going to move on.
Except number 30, Rabash letter 22. Scrutinizing as much as possible, so the Creator will help you understand the internality of things. By scrutinizing the matter in order to understand, you make for yourself kelim, vessels in which you will be able to receive the internality. Again, scrutinizing as much as possible, so the Creator will help you understand the internality of things. By scrutinizing the matter in order to understand, you make for yourself kelim, vessels in which you will be able to receive the internality.
Okay. As much as you can yearn for the internality. Internality meaning spiritual actions. They're all in order to bestow. Above our will to receive. All of us in resembling the Creator. All of us from within the group. All of us in a way that is completely opposite us. But there's no problem there, I'm telling you. The whole problem is because we misunderstand the method. We don't need to exert in anything except for expecting the reforming light that we awaken through the actions between us. The actions between us. If we build the correct 10, the light immediately appears. We don't need to draw it. We don't need to ask for it in any way, shape, or form. It has no personality. We are in a system. The system is ready. It's a system. It doesn't have a desire to do like this or like that. Sometimes we speak this way. It wants or doesn't want. But it's only because we ascribe to everything we work with our qualities. It's like my car. I say, he doesn't want to, it's angry, it's, I had a car like that, that was, everyone said it was angry, had a short temper. That's how a person relates his qualities to everything outside of him. That's how he can understand it better. So we're in a system. The system is silent. There's no change in it. It's in a state of standby. It's ready. You turn it on, it starts to work. You let go, it stops. Again, you turn it on, or ignite, and then it's turned off. And you ignite, and it's turned off. Every time you have to ignite it again. Because once you insert one of your desires, that desire runs out like fuel, and again, it goes back to standby, ready state. That's how it works. So we have to constantly look for in the 10, in requests, in the Arvut, in every time to awaken the system. And each time it will influence us. But it won't influence the individual. It will influence the 10, because that's how it's built, to influence the 10. Maybe not 10, maybe it could be 5, but it has to be a connection between people that is similar to the system. And then it works on that connection. Not on one and not on the other, but two that are in a certain connection between them. They want to influence one another, bestow to one another. Then on this connection between them, this connection, this system works not on either one of them. And it refines, it increases, it raises this connection. The connection. Because both the one and the other, they're egoists, a desire to receive. But the light that comes, the system, that influences them helps to surround each of their egos with a screen, with a restriction, and the connection between them to be mutual. To the extent of this mutual connection that this light now influenced and established, to the extent of that connection, they can begin to understand their relationship to the Creator. How? The way they relate to one another. It's exactly their attitude to the Creator. That's why it's called from love of the creatures to love of the Creator. That's how it works. I recommend not to forget it. Questions?
Shalom Rav.
Hello Rav. In one of the lessons you were talking about the advancement, you also mentioned it now, that it takes many years to come to such discernments. But on the other hand, you said that some will do it in a very short time, but it's going to cost them. Can you explain what is that cost? What is that price?
No. In spirituality, the more you advance towards spirituality, you make it an opposite calculation. In what way, how can I bestow more? Think about that. It's closer to spirituality. As much as I can bestow more and receive pleasure from giving, from bestowing to the Creator. At least, it's called bestow in order to receive, nevertheless, but to some extent, you begin to disconnect from yourself. Not where I can receive and how quickly, rather, where I can bestow more. So, unconsciously, of course, you're thinking, what will I get out of it?
Except number 31, Rabash, land, ear, O heaven. If a person is rewarded and is given a thought of engaging in the secrets of Torah, although he does not understand a single word that is written there, it is still a great privilege that now he is adhered to the study of the internality of the Torah. In other words, he believes that they speak only about godliness, and he has room to delve in his thought, since everything I'm learning is of the holy names. So I must be very fortunate. Therefore, all I need to do is thank and praise the Creator. Again, if a person is rewarded and is given a thought of engaging in the secrets of Torah, although he does not understand a single word that is written there, it is still a great privilege that now he is adhered to the study of the internality of Torah. In other words, he believes that they speak only about godliness, and he has room to delve in his thought, since everything I'm learning is of the holy names. So I must be very fortunate. Therefore, all I need to do is thank and praise the Creator.
To the extent we give thanks to the Creator for bringing us to books that speak of His actions in creation, to that extent we come closer to those surrounding lights, to these actions, and they influence us. So, you should be aware of it, and you should be grateful. Don't be an ingrate.
Except number 32 from Pri Etz Chaim. My teacher used to say that the main intention while reading the Torah depends that he aims to connect his soul to adhere it back to its root by the Torah in order to complete the upper tree and to complete the upper Adam and correct him, because that is the purpose of the entire creation of man and his engagement in Torah.
Okay, let's conclude here. That's enough. I think we're going to go straight to the essence of the wisdom of Kabbalah.
Moving on to the next part of the lesson.
The third part of the lesson.
The third part of the lesson.